lost Jenny on this thing.
No, we didn't either. He's here.
All right, we are back in order. Mr. Shortall.
My apologies, Council.
Mayor, Council, I'm pleased to present Brian Sykes. He and Scott Berthold are, in my opinion and estimation, some of the best lawyers in the country on the area of the cities and county sides and sexually oriented businesses. He's prepared this ordinance for you, and because of the nature of this ordinance, we need to do a presentation. I know that each and every one of you has already received documentation of the secondary effects that Mr. Dykes will talk about in just a few minutes. We will ask you at the end of this this session, or at the end of this component of the session, we will ask you and make a query to make sure that you had reviewed all of that evidence. And we'll also take up that evidence that you did review. We're going to ask you to sign off on it too. And we will put it up and we will hold it in the event that at some point in the future we need to bring it back to recount for some other tribunal the methodology in which you went forward with this. This time, I'm going to turn all of it over to Mr. Sykes, and I just have a few handouts for the council, and I'll make some available to the public, as well as I'll give one to the clerk for record keep. And these, the handouts that I've given you, they should go with the material that you hand back to us, and we will keep as evidence.
Thank you, Bill. While Bill's passing this out, I'll just get started. Ordinance number 2008-12-48 establishes licensing requirements and operational regulations for adult businesses. Their term sexually oriented businesses here. The purpose of those regulations are to protect the city from the negative secondary effects of these businesses. The licensing provisions contain procedural requirements to protect the rights of business operators and employees, and they also include basic qualifications for those two categories. The ordinance also contains time, place, and manner regulations on the operation of adult businesses. The intent and the effect of these regulations is to prevent and reduce negative secondary effects. And the documentation you've received, I think, on the CD-ROM, and we have here in four binders, it's about 2,000 pages of material. Document those negative secondary effects from places around the country. The Supreme Court in Renton versus Playtime Theaters held that local governments can regulate sexually oriented businesses to protect the community from secondary effects. And they don't have to do new studies on their own. They can look at studies from other communities. That's what we have here. These studies we'd like to tender to the acting city clerk and make part of the legislative record. They are, yes. These are the same materials. About 800 pages of judicial opinions and land use reports and crime impact reports and other studies.
Mr. Dykes, for the record, these are the same that we previously...
Yes, that's right. This is a hard copy. There's also a CD-ROM containing the same material that the council has already received. The first category of secondary effects information sources are land use reports, and these were prepared over the past several decades by various municipalities across the country. They vary in their methodology and their rigor, but they have a consistent finding of negative secondary effects that stem from sexually oriented businesses. Their crime impact reports, that's often police reports of crimes in adult businesses or stemming from adult businesses. There are judicial opinions. And the judicial opinions that we've included upheld regulations that we've patterned these regulations after. So these are court-tested regulations. They also upheld regulations that were supported by evidence of secondary effects in various communities. And we've included some of that evidence in the evidence before the council as well. There are expert reports. One is from a professor of criminology who applies criminological theory to adult businesses to show some of the criminological theory and the mechanism why you expect these negative effects and increase the potential for increased crime and other public safety risks with adult businesses. And last, there's anecdotal data. This can be comments from neighbors or businesses that are near adult businesses who, when an adult business opens, they find that their business decreases, their customers don't want to come there. It's also involves neighbors, perhaps people in a residential area who have been accosted by patrons leaving adult businesses. I've mentioned some of these negative effects. We'll go into that a little bit more. Negative impacts on surrounding properties include crime in the area. It can include the diminished growth of property values in the area. It can also include the decreased desirability of nearby commercial and residential sites in the area. Personal and property crimes and public safety risks are some of the negative secondary effects. They can be violent crimes like assaults or rapes in the area. They can also include vice overtures that are brought to patrons that are coming to the area for the adult business. Lewdness and public indecency and illicit sexual activity are some other secondary effects. These often occur in adult bookstores that have peep show booths that are sort of small private areas where illicit sexual activity is often occurred, especially if these are not regulated. And, of course, there's the potential for disease and the spread of health risks as a result of that. Litter and aesthetic impacts or other negative effects. Now, the rationale for the ordinance in light of these secondary effects is that as a category of commercial uses, sexually oriented businesses are associated with a wide variety of adverse secondary effects, including but not limited to personal and property crimes, prostitution, the potential spread of disease, lewdness, public indecency, obscenity, illicit drug use and drug trafficking, negative impacts on surrounding properties, urban blight, litter, and sexual assault and exploitation. And the city has a substantial government interest in regulating these businesses to prevent each of these secondary effects, independent of any comparative analysis between sexual-oriented businesses and non-sexual-oriented businesses. The first part of that says that you're addressing these as a category of businesses. You're not focusing on one specific business or one specific location, and you're not particularly concerned about what you currently have locally. Because of the evidence that's been developed in other communities, you're looking forward, you're sort of looking forward, and if a business like this comes to the community, if you have regulations in place, you can expect to prevent some of those negative impacts. We're also seeking to address each kind of negative impact. You may not have certain crime elements, but you may have activity going on inside the business, and you want to address all of those. And we're not making a comparison between adult businesses and other kinds of businesses. We're not saying that adult businesses are worse of the worst. You don't have to prove it statistically or scientific rigor or scientific standard. You're saying that there's evidence that shows that these are associated with adult businesses, and that's why you're regulating them. In 2002, the Supreme Court decided a case, Alameda Books versus Los Angeles, and courts have concluded as after that decision that communities do not have to do their own studies as long as what they rely on is reasonably believed to be relevant to the secondary effects. And the documentation you perceive that we put in the record is that sort of evidence. There are a variety of cases. I won't try to address all of them, but a few I would like to talk about briefly. In the city of Littleton versus ZJ Gifts, adult business licensing was upheld, and that's a component of this ordinance. In the city of Erie and Barnes, a prohibition on nudity was in place, and that's constitutional. Erotic expression can continue even if you are preventing nudity from going on, and that prevents certain illicit activity that could go on that would require nudity. City of Renton upheld zoning of sexually oriented businesses. I should also mention while we're here that the zoning ordinance the city has enacted has some of the same location regulations for adult businesses as appear in this ordinance, and this evidence also supports the enactment of those location regulations in the zoning ordinance. California versus Lurie dealt with alcohol regulation in adult businesses, and that's been upheld. Another case that's significant for Dunwoody is Daytona Grand versus City of Daytona Beach. That's a decision by the local federal court of appeals here in Atlanta. That case involved evidence of prostitution and crime impacting local businesses and assaults in the area of adult businesses. And after the trial, the trial judge ruled in favor of the adult businesses, but on appeal, the 11th Circuit here in Atlanta concluded that that evidence was sufficient, and going into a lot of detail from experts on the adult business side is not necessary. That's not sufficient to overcome the judgment of the local legislative body based on this sort of evidence. I'll skip ahead down to number 5, the Worldwide Video versus Washington case. That case involved evidence from citizens about the impacts they were experiencing from adult businesses, and that evidence was reliable. There was also evidence of prostitution and drug transactions and sexually explicit litter around adult businesses. The exhibits, some of the exhibits from that Spokane case are part of your legislative record. H&A Land Corporation upheld regulation of adult businesses that were retail only. Historically, a lot of adult businesses also had facilities on site where you could watch videos there. They're sort of moving away from that. And they argue that because of that difference, you can't regulate them the same way. And the courts have disagreed with them. The H&A Land case relied heavily on a study from Oklahoma City and a study from Indianapolis to support the regulations, and those studies are part of your legislative record. Some of the other studies in the legislative record, there's a summary of key studies. That's about a 15-page document that gives sort of the thumbnail, the two-minute study, if you will, from various city studies. In Los Angeles, they found that crime increased at a faster rate in an area where adult businesses were concentrated. In Garden Grove, California, they dealt with the study of the risk of crime and found that was higher in adult business areas. Other studies document illegal sex activities going on inside the adult businesses. So we're looking at secondary effects both inside the business and outside. I'll turn quickly to the issue of expert witnesses. Criminologists conclude, looking at a variety of sources, many of them in your documentation tonight, that the finding that sexual businesses are associated with secondary effects is scientifically robust, because you get that conclusion from a variety of data sources. And counter studies from the industry often violate methodological rules that apply to the sort of evidence that legislators can consider. They like to study calls for police service, and as you can imagine, there are calls for police service for a variety of things that may not actually deal with a specific crime. A false alarm, for example, would show up on a calls for police service, but it wouldn't tell you anything about a crime that went on. And as you can also imagine, most vice crimes don't result in a call for police service. The two people involved aren't going to call the police to tell them they're committing this crime. So that's an issue that sometimes comes up. And the last two parts here, we've got eight cases we've mentioned where industry experts have gone into court and the courts have rejected their counter opinions. They basically try to say that, look, we can look at this one adult business, it's well run, and we can prove that it doesn't have any worse effect in the community than other businesses do. And that's not the sort of evidence that can overcome the long, you know, many number of years and many locations throughout the country where adult businesses have been found to be associated with negative impacts on the community. So with that, I'll close my comments. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jeremy, you haven't given us a second read yet, have you?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. All right, we have a motion to approve out there?
So moved.
Second. All right. Discussion on that?
Third to the last page 22.
Okay, Robert.
Brian, one quick question, sir. All of us understand the importance of having this legally upheld.
Sir.
And I had one thing that I worried a little bit about. and that was that we were setting the hours of operation differently than we set the hours of operation for other businesses in Dunwoody. Mm-hmm. And I wonder whether there's any difficulty about that, or whether it is legitimate to set up different hours of operation for these kinds of businesses than for, say, bars and nightclubs that are allowed to operate till 2 a.m. The restriction here is midnight.
Sure, sure. Special hours of operation for adult businesses have been upheld widely.
Okay, great.
So I'm not aware of any problem with that.
Okay, super.
Thank you. Any other discussion you have,
Danny? Ryan, are the distances here the norm? Are there any standards?
There's not a standard distance for adult businesses. The reason is each community is different, and the distances you have established have to leave some area where adult businesses are legally allowed to operate. So when we looked at these, when we came up with these numbers, we looked at what we could about the city and determined, you know, the distances that would protect these various areas. If you were in a community that was say very large with a very small amount of residential area and a lot of commercial and industrial, you could have a lot longer buffer distances than some of these are here. So it varies from one community to the next.
Any other discussion, Robert?
Do we have a map that indicates which areas are in and out of scope based on this legislation?
I'm not aware of a map that's drawn up on that, but I know maps have been looked at and consulted in reaching these numbers.
Any other questions? Alright, team, if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you, Brian. Jenny, be ready for second read of 7.
Point of order, Mayor. We're going to inquire from the counselor whether or not he had mentioned earlier about point of health to make sure you receive all the evidentiary information.
Okay.
If you're indulging?
Yes.
And I might have misunderstood that in writing. That's fine.
Sorry. If I could just ask if we could call the counsel and make a record that everybody's reviewed all the information that has been highlighted by Mr. Sykes here today. Mr. Taylor, did you receive your documents and review those prior today regarding what Mr. Sykes has discussed and put into evidence for the city?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Shortle, did you have an opportunity to review this evidence that was prepared and given to you that Mr. Sykes put into evidence today?
Yes, I did.
Dr. Bonser, did you have an opportunity and did you review the evidence that was presented to you that is the evidence, same evidence as was put into the evidence today by Mr. Sykes?
Yes, I did.
Mayor Wright, did you have an opportunity and did you review all the evidence that was presented to you, which is the same evidence that Mr. Sykes put into you today?
I did.
Mr. Wittenstein, did you have an opportunity and did you review the evidence that was prepared and presented to you that was the same evidence that Mr. Sykes put into evidence today?
I did.
Mr. Ross, did you review the evidence that was prepared and presented to you? It's the same evidence that Mr. Sykes has put into evidence here today.
I did.
Mr. Hennigan, did you review the evidence that was prepared and presented to you? It's the same evidence that was put into evidence here today by Mr. Sykes.
I have.
I would ask that all of you sign the documents that you received. And at the end of this council meeting, I'm going to ask the clerk to take that from you and to preserve that as part of the record of this presentation here tonight. Thank you.
Okay, question.
I want that document as well as if you took it as a soft copy with a disc to sign off on the disc cover. And if you took it in hard copy to sign off on the hard copy that you have. And we will preserve that evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie. Yes, John?
Mr. Riley, one last question. This
PowerPoint presentation is on this disk, is that correct?
That disk contains, of course, is the disk that contains all of it. I want you to sign the hard copy of that.
Yeah.
The disk that we're...
I'd like to obtain an electronic copy of this, is all I'm asking for. You could.
I can get that to you so we can make sure there's full dissemination to the public.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joni. I think we're ready.
Thank you, sir. The next ordinance we are in consideration tonight is ordinance 2008-1249. This is an ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 7, our building code, providing for inclusion and identification in the code of ordinances for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 7, building code, as attached hereto and incorporated herein. Here we have Ms. Jennifer for presentation.
Okay. Thank you.
I move to approve it.
Second. All right, there's a second. All right, discussion. Anybody have any questions for Jennifer?
If it pleases the council, could I have an opportunity to comment?
You bet.
Thank you so much. Again, this item before you is the adoption of the building code. These are the regulations that will govern us in the issuance of permits, inspections, and certificates of occupancy and completion through the development process. There was one change requested by council at the Monday night work session. That is on page 9. In your copy, it will be in italics in section 7A, Roman numeral 7. Originally, this section stated that where the wholesale cost does not exceed $5,000, you're not required to obtain a permit. Council direction was to drop this to $3,000. Staff would like to take this opportunity to make a recommendation that section be eliminated in total. There was a memo on top of your binder when you came in this evening, and I apologize for the late delivery so that you can digest the information. Essentially, it is our recommendation that paragraph be deleted entirely because the International Code Council, through the Building Code, the Residential Code, Mechanical Code, all the codes that we're adopting have a section that states what does and does not need a permit. Should we go with the paragraph as it is written within our own code, we would be in conflict at that point. In most cases, the concern of requiring a permit for work of this low dollar value is the perceived hassle that comes with getting a building permit. We can handle that through a customer service-oriented department and a smooth permitting function. In the cases of a homeowner replacing a water heater or working on their electrical system, that's going to be an over-the-counter permit, so there's no way would it hold up somebody's construction project. You'll be spending 15 minutes in our office, and we are very optimistic at this point with the software package we're going to be implementing. You can submit your documents to us online, make a trip by the office to pick up your permit, and we hope to get to the point where we can issue these online. So it doesn't even require a trip to the office. So, again, it's staff's recommendation that paragraph be eliminated entirely.
Any more discussion?
Need a motion on that?
I'm going to strike that paragraph, bring it back to compliance with code.
Okay. Second on a... amendment to strike 7, I believe it is.
Yes, sir.
To strike 7 in its entirety.
Is there a second on that?
Second on motion.
Yes,
sir. Okay. There was, sorry. Discussion on that? No discussion. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Robert.
I'm going to vote against the amendment, mostly because I believe in small government, right? It seems to me like if we're going to be handing these things out like candy, let's not require them. There's a hassle factor involved. There's a compliance factor. I just assume do less. But I do understand the alternative approach is to try to make it easy. But at the same time, I think I'd like to see us doing less rather than more.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? I have a comment. If you all look on the, what Jennifer gave us on page 3, 105.2, the work exempt from permit, and you can get a water tank up to 5,000 gallons, but not a water heater. Not a water heater. Just a tank full of water.
What would you do with a tank full of water?
Point of information on page 4, 105.21, emergency reserves. You can jump right in there, and that would definitely be considered emergency reserve, and it's not required until after it's completed.
and the next working business day. So,
all right, that's the point now. All right, any other questions for Jennifer?
Jennifer, what is the, you know, the code that you sealed off there that you're quite familiar with and we're not,
the ICC?
Yes, the ICC.
That is the International Code Council. That is the group charged with creating all of the building codes, residential codes, and then they also have subcodes that require, we call them mechanical permits, but it's plumbing, electrical, HVAC, all of those things. They also write your maintenance codes and some of the supplemental codes that we'll be adopting.
What do they say about that?
About what?
Is that in here?
Yes.
What do they say about that statement?
They tell us specifically, they give us a list of what is exempt, and if it's not on the list, it needs a permit. And that's the minimum safety standard required, placed upon us by the state.
And there's no dollar figure in that?
That's correct.
The ICC is mandated by state law, and the municipality is not allowed to adopt anything that's not less stringent, i.e. you're allowed to make it more stringent, but you cannot make it less stringent as a matter of state law.
Okay? Thank you. All right, any other discussion on the amendment? Thank you, Jennifer. Seeing that there's none, all in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Nay, I guess I
should say.
That's what a horse is. Yeah. I like nay better. All right, so we're back to the ordinance as amended discussion. Any other discussion on this?
Oh, no, I just had a question. Yeah. There were a few typos, and it was the same logo over and over again where it said he and me. Can this be fixed?
Yes. Yes. There's a number of typos in this document that we can clean up.
Okay, seeing there's no other discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, secondary, Jeremy on 14, when you're ready.
Thank you, Mayor. Next ordinance we have is ordinance 2008-1250. This is an ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 14, Land Development and Environmental Protection, providing for the inclusion and identification of the code of ordinances for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 14, Land Development and Environmental Protection, as attached hereto and incorporated herein.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Motion.
Is there a second? A second. All right, discussion on this. Jennifer, you got a summary for us?
Sure. This was discussed Monday night by council. There was the direction to change the stream buffer section. If you are to look on page 24, I apologize, this was not redlined. We just added the test. I apologize for that. Variances, section C1, about midway through, there is a sentence that says, the Board of Zoning Appeals is authorized to consider applications for variances pursuant to this section within the 75-foot stream buffer required of the zone adjacent to waters of the state set forth in section 11B4 of this article, nor within 50 feet of the stream bank. So what we did there was rather than, sorry, I think I just skipped a sentence in there that didn't quite make sense. But the original requirement is you must be 75 feet away from the stream. That, under our code, needs to be 75 feet undisturbed. The state regulates the closest 25 feet to the stream. The change that was made at the direction of council was you cannot ask for a variance to get closer than 50 feet.
Okay, any discussion? Right. Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? There are none. All Jeremy, chapter 17, please.
I didn't realize that chapter was about me. This way, ordinance 2008-1251. This is an ordinance to adopt and approve chapter 17, traffic and public roadways, providing for the inclusion and identification in the code of ordinances for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as chapter 17, traffic and public roadways, as attached hereto and incorporated herein.
Thank you.
So move the traffic and public roadway ordinance, chapter 17.
All right, discussion. And there's no discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Ordinance passes. All right, Jenny, when you're ready.
Yes, sir. Ordinance 2008-1252. This is an ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 23, Streets and Sidewalks, providing for inclusion and identification in the code of ordinances for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 23, Streets and Sidewalks, as attached hereto and incorporated herein.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve that?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion?
Is this the right-of-way? Does it state in here the right-of-way of various streets? Is there a standard right-of-way, or does it state the right-of-way of council? Public Works can address.
Yes, sir, Councilman. The right-of-way is referred to in various sections of this ordinance in reference to publicly owned property versus privately owned property. However, it does rely on the definition of right-of-way in the earlier ordinances that you voted on tonight. So it does not define right-of-way, and there are many instances where right-of-way is not consistent with. So we would suggest that the council not seek to define right-of-way as a consistent with, but rather allow the accepted definitions of right-of-way to prevail. To answer your question, Councilman.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ordinance passes. All right. That leaves us, Jeremy, to Tomcat.
Yes, sir. This week, ordinance 2008-1253. This is an ordinance granting Comcast of Georgia 1, LLC, a franchise agreement to provide cable and other services to subscribers within the city boundaries, granting the right to use the city's public rights-of-way in relation to provisions of such services, and providing for associated franchise fees and for other purposes.
Thank you.
I move to approve.
Second that.
All right, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
When we put this on the agenda, we had anticipated receiving the comments that we provided to Comcast. We did not receive those our comments to them back yet, so I'll recommend taking this until the next meeting, or postponing it to that meeting.
Defer.
Thank you.
Defer the motion.
Yes.
All right. Is there a second on deferral?
I'll second the deferral.
All right. All in favor of deferral of this item, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It shall be deferred. Chapter 9, please.
Yes, sir. We have ordinance 2008-1254, an ordinance to adopt and to approve Chapter 9, Ethics, providing for inclusion and identification of the Code of Ordinances for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 9, Ethics, as attached hereto and incorporated herein.
All right. Thank you.
So moved. Approved.
All right, John.
Second.
Approved. Danny, second. Discussion.
Adrian. What are we coming back to this chapter?
Council.
We have adopted this in various different forms by all the ordinances we have done through every method allowable under the charter. We're also doing it via the double read after December 1st, where there is absolutely no question the city has got the authority to act on ordinances. So this is just the second read of a first read we've previously done, and this will be no further adoptions of this unless you wish to amend or repeal on a later date.
Okay. So the old double read. Okay. So any more discussion on this?
Yes, then.
We've discussed this already.
Yes, we
have. Can we just play back a tape from the previous night?
I stand opposed to this ethics chapter 9. It's extremely wordy, and it is a political document, in my estimation. I realize that saying this is not politically savvy. But then that's the way life goes. You got to say what you feel, or otherwise you're not worth too much. So this thing is 38 pages. We rewrote a 15-page. It had everything in it. It was taken after DeKalb County. And, you know, a document does not make ethics. Period. End of story. If you believe that, as I said before, you go down and ask the citizens of Dunwoody tomorrow if the leadership of DeKalb County is ethical, and get the answer from them. And that will, and I think that will prove to you right away that a document will not do ethics. This is a very wordy document, and I can tell you, and there's lawyers in the house right now, I can tell you when it will be used. It will be used just like the ethics arguments are in the county at the next election. That's when you'll see it. Other than that, you probably won't see much of it. But next time the election comes up, you'll see it pop up its wonderful head. And again, we did change some of it, which makes it more palatable. But again, this document will not be the document that makes ethics the norm of this council or anyone that works for this city. It's the people you hire, and it's the, if you keep it concise, and I've worked under probably more ethical documents than anybody at this table. People can understand what's in the documents. There's no one here right now, if I had said, okay, what's on page 36, that can quote that and tell me what about it or anything else. So that is why I stand against it, and I want to make that perfectly clear without any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Any other discussion? Yes, Danny.
I'd like to clarify something. This document is not identical to DeKalb County. It has no resemblance to it, and it was not modified or used. DeKalb County's ethics document was not used in drafting this document. Secondly, 36-page would be difficult to find. This is a 30-page document, and I think this meets the standards that we're trying to do in terms of our ethics, and I recommend approval.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion on that?
I have a page of clarification that says 38 pages. I have the document at home, so I've read it, and I don't know what's here tonight, so I will just a point of clarification. It is 38 pages. And then I would like to ask the question, where was the document copied from? And it wasn't from DeKalb County.
It's a consortium of things that were recommended by the GMA, plus the state of Georgia, and also the ethics code that was adopted by three of our sister cities, Johns Creek, Milton, and Sandy Springs.
Thank you. John?
I believe, Danny, was this not also part of the task force report? There was a group of Dunwoody citizens that created this ethics?
Yes. And on that ethics was a citizen that has a degree, and he's practiced ethics law for both corporate and government structures. That is involved in the structure of this.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion?
I'll say that in a political context, as somebody who just had a state ethics charge dismissed against him, it was filed frivolously due to activities in getting the Dunwoody legislation through. I just think it's a little bit too broad.
Any other discussion on that? See, if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Please say nay. Okay. All right, thank you. discussion of CAN. Is there a presenter out there for the discussion of CAN?
Mayor and Council, we just want to let you know that we are proceeding on the TAN. We're getting the attorneys in place. We're anticipating having the TAN in place at the end of the first week of January. The documents will be provided in the very near future. We just wanted to let everybody know that this item will be coming up so everyone can get it on the radar and start thinking about it and make sure, because this is a vital issue to the growth and the successful start of the city. Yes.
It's actually a line of credit as opposed to the strictly defined TAN.
That's true. It's a line of credit, but we're going to actually make it a line of it's a line of credit.
What thought process from our end does there need to be involved in that?
Well, the major part of this is going to be on the adoption of the budget, because we're only going to be able to adopt a certain amount based upon the maximum deficiency that we're going to have in the budget, and then a percentage, 5% or greater than that. So when we do the budget, I would recommend you guys take in consideration that we have that limitation. Of course, it's constitutional, 75% of total revenues is also another one, but it's the first one that's going to matter more, I believe.
And the question for Warren, the next revision of the budget is due out soon, isn't it?
Yes. The public hearing will be the 29th, but the budget opening in the next, before Christmas break, will be delivered to you. It's still kind of a moving target.
Yes, Danny? I just a comment on the TAN. I just was, Danny and I were way back when we were younger, I think we started, went down and talked to a couple people about this. The liberal rate at that time, I think, was 3.87. In the paper, it was 1.87 the other day. And that is fixed, as I understand it. At the end of the first day of the new month, every time it rolls over.
Change. The 30th of each month will change. And it's actually not based on the rate. SunTrust Bank is the bank that was selected for this. I believe Warren is the Fed funds rate plus 0.9%, I believe. So it's actually substantially lower than that right now.
Since this is a line of credit and not a pure tax anticipation note where we get the big lump sum up front, we're going to be getting it, what, monthly based on our needs? Does it have to come in front of council to approve? What is the structure in which we are going to be authorizing the TAN?
The structure, I believe, will be that y'all will authorize the entire amount of the TAN. The finance director will draw down from the line of credit as it's needed. So we'll obviously try to take down as little as possible to be able to meet our needs. And the interest will be calculated, as was said before, as the first day of the month will be the amount that's outstanding at that point. The other clarification I did want to make, make sure council was aware, is that the traditional line of credit that a business would take, you take out some of the line of credit, you pay some of it back, or pay the whole thing back, and then you take out some and you pay it back. Under Georgia law, you're not, it's not permissible to pay back the line of the credit until the end of the year. So anything you take out is a continuation, you'll be paying interest on that. So the idea is that if you have access to a $6 million line of credit and you only take out $2 million of that line of credit, you're only paying interest on the $2 million. And depending on the timing of when you take it out, so in other words, in January, if we took out $100,000, it would be $100,000 times the interest at that time. If at the end of the year you took out, you know, an additional amount of money, you'd be paying on that margin for that interest. So it's not as convenient as a business line of credit, but the advantage of doing it this way is that you're not for the entire year having the entire amount being subject to the interest rate.
On a TAN, you take down the entire amount, interest rate for the entire year.
Right.
You pay it back at year end, and this one also has to be repaid at year end.
Yes, it has to be repaid by the end of the calendar year. But the interest rate calculation, the advantage of doing it this way is twofold. One is that I think some other cities, and historically a lot of cities take out TANs, not just new cities. The advantage typically prior to these economic times is that you could take out the TAN at a low interest rate and then invest the money at a higher interest rate and then keep the margin. Obviously the savings rate now and the yield is much lower because of the interest rates. So there's a significant advantage to taking it all out in small pieces as you need it. The challenge is that we're not able to, as revenue comes in, be able to satisfy that loan because once you pay it back, you can't take it out again. It's a little quirk in the law.
Any other questions, discussion on this? Danny?
This is not on TAN, but it's on finance. Have you had a chance to do any more work on the lease financing for the automobiles?
We are currently working on it with our finance staff, purchasing manager in chief.
Thank you.
We don't have a resolution yet.
Any other questions regarding TAN? Yeah, yes.
My understanding was we can take out money again. If we could take out however much we need, and then we can stop being at a fixed interest rate at that point.
My understanding is that the cash that you take out when you take it out is charged at the interest rate at that time. If you take out additional funds, then you're paying the interest rate at that time. So interest rate is variable in that it changes each month. And the amount you have out is what you could charge interest on. So it's a little complex in that.
So there is an advantage to taking more out at the interest rate right now and then stopping in.
No, because each month you'll be the interest rate will change.
The good news is that the rates has dropped significantly.
In the months where the interest rate is low, you're doing well. When the interest rate goes higher, you're still going to need to take out the money. So.
Okay. Any other questions regarding this? All right. Thank you, Warren. Thank you, Brian. All right. Moving on to new business action item one.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Danny.
Point of privilege.
Sure.
Request a 5-minute break. Just do a stand up stretch.
You got it. 5-minute break. Which would bring us.